It is Tuesday morning. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today, May 6th. Happy belated Cinco de Mayo. I didn't get to wish it to you yesterday, but you weren't on the podcast.
That's right. Celebrating Cinco de Mayo.
Did you go to...
We're actually just updating the pitching calendar.
Did you get a burrito?
No, I didn't. I may just have to celebrate, you know, belatedly.
Yeah. Well, I got one on Sunday, I think, so I kind of feel like I took care of it.
All right.
You know? Welcome to the show, everybody. We're going to take your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I do want to read a lot of emails today because we haven't gotten around to that too much lately. Didn't have a chance yesterday, so got a few of them sprinkled in here. We'll talk about Troy Tulowitzki. We'll talk about closer news as Ernesto Friere got a save last night. You stay up to watch a West Coast game, Al, till 1 in the morning. Your team walks 6 batters in one stupid inning. The Angels batter around without getting a hit in the 8th inning, Al.
That is outrageous.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Put me in a bad mood. But seeing your face made it all better. Scott's coming in just a little bit. Before we get to a surprise fun thing that I had for the two of you, what stood out to you last night, Al? What do you want to talk about?
How about a couple of guys who seem to be inheriting starting roles and probably aren't very widely owned?
Oh, David Phelps and Jay Happ?
No, not them, but we could throw them in the mix.
Oh, who else could it be?
I was thinking Josh Harrington, or how about Josh Harrison
okay.
instead, and Stephen Romero. Okay. Why did I just mispronounce everybody's name today? Stephen Romero and Josh Harrison. So guys who have started a few games in a row in their team's respective outfields, Mariners, Pirates, looking pretty good so far. And I'm guessing neither one is owned in 10% of leagues. Are you looking that up?
I would guess neither one is owned in 2% of leagues.
That may be, too.
But I think Harrison might be third base eligible.
Yeah, I would guess that he is.
He's not. Never mind. We have him listed on the media site as a third baseman, but he's only outfield eligible right now.
So
going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think they're sort of intriguing, and I know I'm starting off with deep league guys here.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But, I mean, that's the thing is that in deeper leagues, sometimes it's really hard to find a replacement that's getting regular playing time.
Right.
And so, you know, here's a couple of guys that if you do, you know, need an outfielder, an outfield replacement in a deep league, I think either one of them could help you out. And Romero in particular, I think, I mean, Harrison's probably just keeping the seat warm for Polanco.
Yeah.
But, and who knows? He could be out in a couple of days. You never know. They still got Snyder. Pirates still have
Tabata.
But Romero could be there for a while.
Okay.
In the Mariners outfield. And the thing is that he hasn't walked yet. He's got a bunch of strikeouts, 14 to be exact, in very limited bats. But there's a little bit of power there.
Well, any interest in David Phelps or Jay Happ?
Oh, no.
No?
I feel like, too, in deep leagues, it's a little easier to find pitching. And of the two, I certainly have much more interest in Phelps.
Yeah, that's where I was going with it, really.
Yeah. Yeah, that Happ start, I feel like, was very deceiving. I feel like Jay Happ did a disservice to fantasy owners.
4 walks in 5 innings for Happ. Scoreless innings.
But no runs, right. So, you know, I feel like fantasy owners may look a little too kindly upon that.
Not fantasy owners like Scott White, though.
No, no way.
No, not me.
Not his style.
I'm not fooled by you, Jay Happ.
He sees 4 walks, he just crosses them off the list. All right, Scott, it is your turn to nominate a player from yesterday's standouts.
All right, well, I think I'm going to go with, it's kind of obvious, I guess, but Friere. Have you talked about him yet?
No, not really.
No, we just talked about a bunch of guys that nobody owns.
Yeah, it's more or less what we did.
Yeah, came in, got the save, I think 2 strikeouts in a perfect inning, and that's 4 2/3 straight perfect innings. Mike Socha said he likes his bullpen more with Friere at the back and Joe Smith able to use him situationally. So I think maybe, at least for now, the days of Joe Smith closing might be over.
All right, let's go through these really quickly. Is there anything we can say about Troy Tulowitzki that hasn't already been said?
I don't think there is.
Okay.
I don't know. That's, you know, Scott, certainly is Frieda.
He's batting .408 with 9 home runs and slugging over 1,000 at home and over 500 on the road. He's good.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the biggest question is, do you entertain the trading him, knowing his injury history? And it would be very difficult to get a good enough return, I feel like. Like, somebody would really have to be, like, just all over him.
Would you trade him straight up for Robinson Cano?
No.
You'd rather have Tulo?
Yeah, I would,
yeah.
too.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. John Axford gave up a home run for the second straight game. Should we be on Cody Allen alert?
I think we should. And he's not had good control either, and that's been the consistent problem for Axford. So, yeah.
I don't like it.
Cody Allen time.
All right. Keep him on your radar. Jared Cozart, 7 innings, 1 run, not earned. 3 walks, 3 strikeouts, only 4 hits at Detroit. His last 3 starts, Cozart, in 19 and 2/3, has given up just 4 runs on 13 hits with 8 walks and 13 strikeouts. How dumb am I for picking him up in 3 leagues last night?
Depends which leagues. Might have been really smart.
Was that you? I saw a lot of
inbox,
picked up. I know you couldn't pick him up in the podcast categories league, podcast reject, whatever we're calling that league.
The Rejects League?
The Rejects League.
That, you have him there.
Yeah.
I dropped Marcelo Zuna for him in a 12-team points league. I dropped, I guess it wasn't this league. I'll keep looking. Go on. Talk to me about
Cozart. Here's
Jared
my concern
Cozart.
About Cozart, because it's been 3 good starts in a row now after some hits and misses early on. But during those 3 starts, 13 Ks to 8 walks, when his previous good starts, it was like, oh, this walk-to-strikeout thing, it's starting to look good. It's starting to look like something we want to see. And he had talked about how he had changed his mechanics this spring, specifically because the walks were too high and the strikeouts were too low. And at least in these 3 starts, the changes haven't paid off on that end. And that makes me skeptical of the performance as a whole. Not that I don't think you can't own him, just that he's, you know, not much better than a top 90-ish starting pitcher, which probably means in the leagues you were picking him up, I wouldn't bother.
Yeah. Okay, the 3 players I dropped him for were Everett Cabrera, who's my second Ooh. Shortstop.
Oh, okay.
I'm just tired of Everett Cabrera right now. Dallas Keuchel and Marcelo Zuna, who's a bench outfielder in a 3 outfielder league. I just feel like the guys that are out there on waivers, the starting pitchers, I don't see that many who have the upside of Cozart. So it's more of a stash thing for me.
Well, one of those leagues was one where I dropped Dan Straley.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But I should probably pick up Straley.
But no, I thought the dropping Ozuna in a 3 outfielder league for Cozart, like, yeah, maybe there'd be a pitcher on your waiver wire I would like better. But I think that's an all right move. But yeah, Everett Cabrera, I just feel like he has trade value. And you could get a better pitcher.
Does he, though? I mean, I think we have an email about Everett Cabrera, actually. He's got a knee injury. He's doing nothing. He doesn't steal. It's a points league anyway.
But, you know, down the line, that knee gets better. You know, I just think he's got rest of season value. And you just don't – I wouldn't want to just toss him out there for nothing.
Fine. Yeah. Fine. Fine. I'm picking up Dan Straley.
Yeah.
You know, I do some weird things in points leagues with, you know, no corner infield spot, no middle infield spot, and just wanting as many starting pitchers as I can justify rostering for the 2 start weeks and whatever else. I've made some weird drops before. I dropped Mike Morse in that points league, the regular podcast league. And I've regretted it because Ryan Braun went down.
All right, here we go. Are you guys buying Jordan Lyles?
A little bit. Because I started to. I think it was last season he had a brief little run where it looked like he was starting to make good on his prospect potential. And he's looking that way again. I don't think he's ever going to be a strikeout guy, but is one of those effective contact pitchers who doesn't walk guys and gets ground balls. That's more what Lyles is looking like lately.
Are you buying Aaron Harang, Scott?
No, I can't say I'm buying him. I don't know. I don't know. If I already owned him, I don't know that this would compel me to drop him. It wasn't a very good start. and 19 hits in his last two starts. It was 9 in this one. 19 in the last two after 15 in his first 5. So starting to look a little more like Arang.
A lot of singles, though. 7 singles last night.
Yeah.
And the Marlins cheated in the other one.
And he still got 6 strikeouts in 6 innings.
Just like every other team that's beating the Braves is cheating, right?
No, it's only the home games for the Marlins. When the Braves struggle at home, it's not cheating. When they struggle at Marlins Park, Al.
And they have a home run sculpture that somebody can hide inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I got it.
They have a little guy in like a control room telling everybody what the pitch is.
Yeah, maybe. previous versions of Harang, when he was good, this is the kind of pitcher he was. So you know, it wasn't a good start like we were seeing from Harang earlier, but it wasn't a bad start either. And there's only really been one bad start, so I'm kind of inclined to hold on to him for now, even though I don't have a lot of faith and think this might be another indication that the league's starting to catch up to him.
All right, fellas. I was all ready to come in here and be all pumped up about Shelby Miller if I had just turned the TV off after 5 innings.
Yeah.
But then the 6th inning happened. He couldn't even get through the 6th. He ends up going 5+, 6 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 5 Ks, and only threw 86 pitches, 51 strikes. Very frustrating pitcher, this Shelby Miller. But, you know, the bullpen is so good that he gets a lot of wins, even if he gives you 5 or 6 innings, so it's helping his value. First start this season with fewer than 3 walks for Miller. What do we think right now?
Yeah, I was not encouraged at all by the start by Miller. And it's funny because I had a feeling you might respond this way because you are the king of the deep outing. Right, you love pitchers that can go consistently.
I think
deep.
That's more Scott, but
oh, help me out here, Scott, because isn't that Adams?
No, I kind of felt like it was more me.
Yeah,
too.
That's a Scott thing.
Yeah,
maybe
not.
Shelby Miller, I watched most of the game last night, at least until the bullpens came in, and he looked really good. You know, I mean, he's striking a lot of guys out. He struck out a batter per inning, but then he just loses his control all of a sudden. He walked a leadoff hitter in the 5th, and then he started getting hit around a little bit, and they took him out. But I don't know. I mean, I just see if you watch the first 5 innings, you're looking at a guy who looks like it could be an ace, and then it just fell apart. Did you watch the game?
Ew, I had it on. I wasn't watching Miller as intently as it sounds like you were able to. It's kind of on in the background.
Yeah. I mean, Yankees were late, so I said, I watched my boy Shelby. I mean, Shelby Miller, Aaron Harang, 2 very relevant pitchers. I wanted to see what was going on there.
Sure.
So, I mean, I didn't ever actually answer your question. So, yeah, and I'm not encouraged at all by this start. Just another start where he just couldn't maintain command.
Mm-hmm.
And it still hasn't really managed to hurt him, but I don't think he can keep this up for very long without feeling some pain.
All right, I have a surprise for you guys. Are you ready?
Oh, I
We love surprises.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yes.
For an impromptu game.
Ooh.
Of what do you want it to be?
Wheel of Fortune.
Player comparison.
How about Fantasy Feud?
Ah, that's a good one.
Let's play the feud.
Yeah.
We got the White family and the Melchior family here.
Do we have Steve Harvey here?
I am not as witty as Steve Harvey.
He is awfully funny on that show.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a very sarcastic, dry way, but very funny.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, here's your category. The top 6 answers are on the board. Can you tell me the top 6 outfielders over the last 14 days? Scott, the White family. Scott, how you doing today, Scott?
I'm doing good.
What do you do for a living?
I write about games that people make up about games.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sounds nerdy.
Yeah.
Give me an answer, Scott.
Desmond Jennings.
The number one answer is Desmond Jennings.
Yeah.
Pass or play?
I'm going to pass because Al's not even paying attention, so I think I can steal this from him.
Yeah.
Okay. Al, the 5 of the top 6 answers are on the board. We need the top 6 outfielders in the last 14 days.
How about... Oi.
This is really why I passed because I didn't want to stall.
Yeah, no, I have no idea. Jason Hayward.
Oh, come on. Not Jason Hayward. Number two on the list. Very surprising here. Any other guesses? Or do you want to give Scott a chance to steal? Or?
Yeah, I'd like to give Scott
a chance. All right, we'll just skip the inevitable two extra buzzes.
Okay.
Scott?
Yeah.
This is to win.
Yeah.
Or to lose.
Yeah.
Just give me one of the top six that's not Desmond Jennings.
Boy, I hope I don't lose, or I played that really poorly.
Yeah.
I will say Mike Morse.
Booyah!
Yeah!
Number five, Michael Morse. All right, here are your top six outfielders. Desmond Jennings, Nelson Cruz, 6 home runs and 16 RBI, Yasiel Puig, Jose Bautista, Michael Morse, and Andrew McCutchen. Let's talk about Jennings and Cruz.
Okay.
How about that? What do you guys think about those two?
I think they're both good. I was working, I was tweaking my rankings last night, moved them both up. Jennings, I think, I moved ahead of Cruz and head to head. But I don't know. It's kind of a strange, like, Cruz, I think we know who he is, and I think he's good, and he's showing he's good, but there's obviously the injury risk with him. So that kind of causes me to value him less, maybe, than somebody like Jennings, who I don't trust as much, but. I think if this does end up being a breakout season, which is showing, it's looking like it might be in terms of power and in terms of how much he's walking and everything, that he'll be a top 24 outfielder, and a must start player. And I think that's how high I moved him up, was in my
30.
Top 24, 30,
no.
not quite 24,
33. In points, 32 in Roto.
Oh, I thought it was higher than that.
One spot behind Cruz in points and 5 behind him in Roto.
Okay.
We're just Scott's colleagues.
It was a lot of shifting of Jennings around. I couldn't quite decide exactly how I wanted to value him.
Scott's colleagues, you mean Herc?
Yeah.
Or you. You have Jennings.
We are both his colleagues.
36 in Roto and Cruz 38, and you have Jennings 30th in points. And Nelson Cruz, 35th.
That's really close. Both of those players were kind of on the same page there.
Now look at who is right behind Desmond Jennings. Dominic Brown. Sat again.
Yeah, and I dropped him.
We have a Dominic Brown problem here, guys?
I'm starting to think we do.
Uh-oh.
And wild speculation time.
Oh boy.
This is what we do when players struggle, when we don't expect them to struggle as badly as they do, is then that we speculate that maybe they're hurt.
Right.
So, but yeah, Brown does have a big-time injury history. So I don't have no other explanation.
Yeah, I don't worry so much about the sitting thing because he's struggling. They're trying to get runs. If he turns it around, he'll play every day. But, yeah, I mean, it's a concern. It's... The reason I'm not going so far as to drop him like Al is, and I think I still have him ahead of Jennings in my rankings. I haven't lowered him too much.
You do.
Is because of what happened last May. He was pretty bad last April to the point that I was dropping him in some leagues, and then he hit 12 home runs. And was pretty good from, I mean, obviously he slowed down from there, but he was better. He performed at about a 20 homer pace the rest of the way after that.
Just to be clear, by the way, I dropped Brown in my rankings. I did not drop him from my team.
No, right. Oh, okay. Sorry.
I did bench Brown this week.
Yeah.
I almost benched Brown, but I just don't want to be the guy who benches him when he hits 4 home runs in a week. So I gave him another shot. And I benched Alex Gordon, who's kind of a bum right now. What's up with Alex Gordon? Eric Hosmer hit a home run. Hallelujah. The Royals cannot hit.
Gordon's getting his doubles.
Yeah.
Is he?
Well, Gordon's somebody who, like, he really dropped off last year a good bit in terms of how much he was getting on base and everything. But then when you look where he finished among outfielders at the end of the season, he was still somebody you needed to be starting. So he's not very flashy, but in the long run, the numbers are there. So if you don't stray from him, I think you'll be pretty happy in the end.
You know, right. Gordon almost has half as many doubles this year as he had all of last year. He has 12.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
And Hosmer has a bunch, too.
You know, if you don't like guys on 70 doubles paces, you know.
I do like them. I didn't realize he had that many doubles.
Here's another comparison I can do last year versus this year, this time with Hosmer. Last year through May 5th, 259, 4 doubles, 0 home runs. this year through May 5th, 296, 12 doubles, one home run. So significantly improved from then, but obviously he needs that big surge like he had last year to live up to what everybody's been expecting for him.
By the way, Al, Scott's really the guy who likes players on 70 doubles paces.
Not okay. Well, just want to just be clear what kind of guy you are.
Yeah. We all like 70 doubles. All right, Henry Mejia could become the Mets closer at some point.
Why not?
If they shut him down, put him in the bullpen. Somebody needs to close for that team. Yasiel Puig was not in the lineup yesterday. Hyunjin Ryu got good news. He's going to begin a throwing program soon. No major shoulder issues. Jose Fernandez says he'll make his next start despite getting hit by a comebacker Sunday. Joe Mauer was out yesterday with back spasms. Could be back today. Atlanta batted Aaron Harang 8th. Ramiro Pena 9th. Dan Uglas sat. Justin Upton batted 2nd. And nerdy BJ Upton batted 5th. They shuffled their lineup quite a bit. So Dan Uglas. Do we have a Dan Uglas problem here?
Yeah, I think we might. We might have a, well, I mean, depending if you want Uglas to stick around or not. He's obviously been terrible now 2+ years. And they have Tommy La Stella waiting in the wings at AAA, who's kind of the anti-Ugla, in that he makes a lot of contact, gets on base, doesn't have much power, but does everything Ugla does and does everything the Braves need, actually. And one of their beat writers, their MLB.com beat writer yesterday, speculated that that could happen sooner or later. And he said it was speculation. It's not like he'd heard anything. Mm-hmm. But he's obviously a beat writer, as close to the team as anybody. And then this move happens now with them changing their lineup, putting Pena ninth to get kind of like the second leadoff man and move Justin Upton back to second without wasting his power.
Right.
So it might depend somewhat on how Pena performs. And we'll obviously be monitoring to see if Ugla is in and out of the lineup going forward. But La Stella, at least in deeper leagues, certainly in NL only, might be worth stashing now.
Okay, Michael Bourne didn't play, could be headed to the DL with a hamstring injury. Brett Laurie day-to-day with a hamstring injury. He played his fourth game at second base, zeroing in on eligibility there. Charlie Blackmon sat against the lefty, Martin Perez. Everybody else
hit. Much to Scott's consternation, I'm sure. I thought of you when I looked at the box score.
Me too.
Oh, I didn't even think of this. I was so focused on Martin Perez having a bad outing again.
No, if I see Charlie Blackmon sit or if I see Brad Miller strike out, I think of Scott White.
I did take note of Brad Miller's line yesterday, which is pretty good.
Two steals.
Yeah. Two steals, a walk, a hit, but a strikeout.
And a strikeout.
Yeah.
San Diego called up Kyle Blanks. Does anyone care?
A little. In my NL-only team, because I've had him stashed all this time. He had a stretch last year where I was pretty high on him.
And I remember that.
I don't think I'm going to fall for it again, but he does offer some cheap power.
Al, how would you compare Kyle Blanks to Stefan Romero and Josh Harrison?
Oh, preferable, yeah. Okay. Way higher upside.
Jason Mott needs another 2 to 3 weeks of rehab appearances, and Rosenthal was a little shaky again last night. Chris Sale, this is what I just will never believe teams anymore. Going to come back 15-day minimum? No. He needs... He's 2 weeks away from a rehab assignment. Oh, so annoying.
You want to trade him to me? What do you own him in? The
I own him
league?
In four leagues. He is my single most important player in fantasy baseball. Yep.
I could use a top-end pitcher in the rejects league. Just putting it out there. Just putting it out there.
All right.
We'll talk off the air.
Okay. Adam is wearing his rejects league sweatshirt today.
That's true, I am. Carlos Gomez's appeal of his suspension, his 3-game suspension, will be heard Friday. Cespedes out yesterday with a hammy. Max Scherzer became the first starting pitcher since Tim Lincecum in 2010 to strike out 7 or more in each of his first 7 starts in a season. And here's what St. Louis GM John Mozeliak said on Oscar Tavares. Quote,
Mozeliak.
I knew I didn't say it right. Mozeliak.
Herc butchered it too this morning, by the way.
Why does he spell it like that?
Yeah, I know we should ask him.
That's on him.
I don't think he gets to choose.
Well, then pronounce it phonetically.
I don't know that he gets to choose that either.
It's his own damn name. He can say it however he wants.
Taking some liberties there. There might be some bad blood that develops in family.
Maybe. All right. Quote, we'd still like him to play a lot more center field, but there's no doubt he's playing well. I know a lot's being made out of Oscar coming to St. Louis, but right now I don't even think it's a logical thing to do. There are a lot of question marks going on in the outfield to begin with, and I think that would muddy it up. And there you go. All right, let's do some emails. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Our first email of the day, number one, is from Matt. And he says, Dear Walter White, Jesse Pinkman, and Saul Goodman.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah!
Never watched it.
I only know the first one.
Tremendous.
You know, there are five... Well, no. Never mind. I'm not going to say that.
Oh, what?
No, it was probably... No, let's just keep going.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Everybody out there, just think about what Scott might have said.
Well,
I was
going to reveal some family information that maybe I shouldn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think now that Charlie Blackman is going to finish in the top 75 in roto leagues, and Giancarlo Stanton might have a career year and finish in the top 25. Do you think that's possible?
Yes and yes.
Top 25 for Stanton doesn't seem far-fetched.
I was going to say that doesn't seem far-fetched at all. Blackman's going to have to obviously keep producing. But, you know, taking a closer look at him, I'm trying to think where I wrote this. I think it was my last By the Numbers column. Blackman, he's barely striking out so far this year and kind of profiling like a poor man's Jacoby Ellsbury.
Okay.
And, you know, the power-free version.
Except he's crushing him in power right now.
They've all been at home runs, and he's not hitting for any power on the road. So that's why I qualified it that way.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, but that's still a really good thing.
Yeah, not bad. Email of the day number two is from Yancey from Fort Myers. I'm a longtime listener who has let this go for far too long. This isn't a question, but more of a suggestion. In the case of the acronym BABIP, batting average on balls in play, pronouncing it as BABIP is wrong. Think of the words you are replacing with an acronym. No one says batting average. It's batting average. The A in BABIP is pronounced like the A in apple. The letters of the acronym should be pronounced and stressed the same as the word they're replacing. Batting average equals BABIP, not BABIP. I write this out of love.
Well, yeah, and I've been indulging myself on this for way too long.
You say BABIP or BABIP?
No, I say BABIP.
Oh, I thought you were a BABIP guy.
No. And I've actually self-corrected a couple of times.
I don't...
And you have discouraged me from...
I think BABIP sounds stupid. I'm sorry. It's a personal preference thing. BABIP sounds cool.
Well, here...
BABIP sounds stupid.
Okay, so where's the analogy here? Because he's saying that when you make something into an acronym, that then the pronunciation should reflect the words that you're...
Mm-hmm.
Putting into the acronym. So what's a parallel to that? Because if you just look at it phonetically,
it should be BABIP, right?
And yet the whole rest of the world does pronounce it BABIP.
Why just looking at it phonetically is it BABIP? There's no
because
B
if there were two, you'd have to have another B in there to make it
right.
BABIP. Like if you saw that word BABIP, you would pronounce it BABIP. And here's the thing: I know it's wrong.
Yeah, like we do say water,
but
not
I don't.
Later.
I don't want to be right. I don't want to be right. I hate BABIP. It's an ugly word.
So if saying BABIP is right,
saying BABIP is wrong, I don't want to
be right.
Does the rest of the world pronounce it BABIP?
Yeah.
Or is it?
And then you get the few people out there who say BABIP. Oh, we are wrong. But I know we're wrong. But I'm sticking with it. I think it's a signature of our show.
I kind of feel like maybe Al's the one I've heard say it the most, so I've just kind of taken my cue from him. But I know I've heard it pronounced BABIP before, but I thought most pronounced it BABIP.
Yeah.
I thought, but whatever. It's a made-up word.
Yeah. You know what, Yancey? I understand the complaint, but I'm sticking with my guns here. I'm going BABIP. You guys can do whatever you want. Email of the day number three.
I can't argue. I think Yancey is right. I think it's time for me to change.
Okay. Good for you, Al. Email of the day number three is from Jesse from Hagerstown, Maryland. Help! I've got Jason Kipnis out 3-5. 3-4. Jay Bruce out 3-5. Bryce Harper out until after the All-Star break. Tony Cingrani, Devin Mesoraco, and Jerkson Profar on the DL. What do you do in a situation like this? Sell at a discount? 12-team roto. Saves are in demand. Do I punt saves for now? I've got Axford, Hunter, and Melanson. I'm plummeting in the rankings. I've never been hit with so many injuries at once like this. Not sure how to handle it.
Hmm.
Well, I think there may come a time when you have to consider dropping injured players. And really, the only one I think you could justify dropping in this case is Profar. And there's a good chance he won't even end up regretting it, because I know Profar was a popular breakout candidate. He was on my breakout list, but he still hasn't done anything at the major league level, and he's going to be coming back from a shoulder injury. So not that I'm saying dropping him is ideal, but when you have all these other players, it's a tough decision you're going to have to make.
Well, this sounds like a tough league for saves, because he's got Axford, Hunter, and Melanson, and he says that he's messed up for saves.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Well, look, if you can sell, you might have to sell some of these guys. You look at a team that's doing well, and you sell them Jason Kipnis, or you sell them Jay Bruce or Bryce Harper or something like that, you might have to get immediate help. You cannot go that – I mean, that those are a lot of really good players right there.
And yeah, that's a good point.
You're going to lose.
That's it. I wasn't even considering that aspect.
Yeah.
And they're all out. It's not like the Matt Cain or Ryan Braun where they could be back next week. You know, it's –
Mesoraco could be back soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not.
But,
yeah.
But that's the least of the problems.
Right,
here, right.
Exactly.
So it's, yeah, he's really got to take care of Kipnis and Bruce. I just hate the idea of selling those guys when they're out a month. Look, see what value you can get.
Yeah.
Try it. But I guess that's if it were my team, I don't have blanket advice here. I would dangle those guys on the market, see what I could get if I didn't like the return. I'd patch the best I could with reserves.
Email of the day number 4 is from Mike in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. What kind of sandwich do you think Matt Cain was making when he lacerated his finger?
Cucumber.
Ew.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Well,
I think he was going ham.
Why would you need a sharp knife to make a sandwich anyway? You know?
Well, we don't know what kind of bread it was
on. If you're going to, well, that's true.
You know, it could have been on like one of those harder baguette types of breads. Or baguette.
Baguette and meatballs.
You know, you got to slice it.
I mean,
I hope it wasn't a cucumber sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, that does make sense.
Have you ever had one of those?
No, I haven't.
I'm thinking,
and I never will.
I'm thinking there had to be some protein in here.
Probably. I just like the idea of him
I like
eating
ham.
A cucumber sandwich.
I'll go ham with you. Ham and cheese. Some tomato. Maybe he was slicing tomato.
Maybe
you can't do that with a butter knife.
You can't. Well, he could.
Oh, that would be get all over the place.
You can pretty much do anything with a butter knife that you could do with a regular knife. It just takes longer.
True or false, you cannot put tomato on a sandwich that you're taking to go.
I understand the logic, but you can do it.
I do it all the time.
I don't feel like the freshness downgrade.
Gets all soggy.
You know, if there's a lettuce buffer...
Oh,
then you're fine.
That
may be what your problem is. Most people do lettuce and tomato.
Yeah, not a lettuce guy. It's so boring. Email of the day number 5 is from Ben in Milwaukee. Approve the move. Drop Bad Miller. Add Jed Jerko. 12-team league.
Bad Miller's catching.
Oh,
on.
Yeah. We got this
approved.
One.
Approved. You know what? If it was a roto, I approve, but not head-to-head.
No.
No. I think Miller's actually going to be an asset with the strikeout-to-walk ratio, believe it or not.
Really?
He eventually will be.
Hey, listen, Brad Miller got dropped in one of my leagues that you guys aren't in, and I'm going to make a play for him, 16-team league, where I'm starting Ibar. And if you guys tell anyone else in this office who's in that league to pick up Brad Miller, I'm going to be really pissed. Because every time I make a trade offer to someone in the league, well, to one person in particular, he goes running to you guys, and you say, no, don't do it. It's a horrible trade. And I never could rip anyone off.
Well, I'm glad that you gave us that warning, because you know what I do when the podcast is over is I immediately go from cube to cube and tell people who you're going to pick up.
I'm just saying, if someone asks you, should I pick up Brad Miller, you say no. You lie to them.
Is this the one Scott Fitzgerald's in?
Always.
Oh, he needs the shortstop, too.
Do not. Scott, if he comes to you,
this for us?
He offered
David
me,
Price.
He offered me $5 to help him with his team yesterday.
$5?
I didn't accept.
Yeah, he turned it down.
But he offered. Just saying.
$5? That's
I'm
what he's offering?
I'm just saying.
I will give you 10 not to help him.
Okay.
Scott's got a little stand that says the doctor is in.
Yeah. Dear Mr. Fantasy.
$5 for fantasy advice.
All right, so this next category here, inspired by Bad Miller and Jed Jerko, who might be heating up a little bit, the two of them. It's getting hot in here, but with a question mark, because I want to know if you guys are buying into these hot streaks. Curtis Granderson.
I think you spelled here wrong, by the way.
Oh, it's supposed to be her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting hot in her.
Curtis Granderson homered at Miami, so that's 12 for 39 with two home runs, 8 RBI, 6 walks, 8 strikeouts in his last 11 games. His other home run was at Colorado. We got Granderson. We got Jerko, who's homered twice in his last 3 games, homered off Greg Holland last night. Starling Marte, who's moving up the batting order. Now he's up to 5th. 2 hits, 2 steals yesterday. Brad Miller, I have the hiccups. Brad Miller, 58% owned right now, 1 for 3 with a steal, with 2 steals. Only stole 5 bases last year in 8 attempts. And Colby Rasmus doubled twice at Philadelphia.
Well, before we get into the particulars here, I just want to say it seems like the Pirates have their own worryometer sort of built in to their lineup.
Why is that?
They're worried about Marte, so they drop him down.
Oh,
and,
yeah, yeah.
You know, he's climbing up.
He's down to a 5 now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyway,
we got Granderson, Jerko, Marte, Miller, and Rasmus.
Yeah, I find what Jerko's doing very, very encouraging because you knew the power was there. It was just a question of when you'd see it.
And it'll come.
Yeah.
It'll come in bunches. So I'd like to see some other hits with the home runs. I don't think I started him in any leagues I own him except the deeper ones. Oh, no, I take that back. But anyway, I'm not saying he's there yet, but it's definitely an encouraging sign. And I kind of take that stance with all these players except for Rasmus. Did you mention him?
Yeah.
Except for him. I think we know who he is, and it's not
we don't like it.
That exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, not on this particular section here that you have, but Leandro Martin, again, in the bottom, I believe, bottom third of the order.
Yeah,
hit
yeah.
7th.
Exactly. So who batted second last
It was Josh Wilson. So that was not a good sign.
Right. Interesting. Well, Andrews will get back up there, though.
Yeah.
Okay. See, we got 15 minutes left, so let's skedaddle. Well, no, let's pick up the pace, and then we'll skedaddle. 3 up, Johnny Peralta. Last 9 games before yesterday when he went 2 for 4 with his 7th double. 371, 3 homers, 7 RBI, 3 doubles. He's hot. Torii Hunter, 83% owned, 7 multi-hit games in his last 12. His batting average has gone from 222 to 327, and he has a home run and 5 doubles in those 12 games. And Gene Segura homered and stole a base. Come back to him, but Peralta and Torii Hunter, are these must-start guys?
No, I don't feel like Peralta is. He's on a hot streak, but I think just even if he shows his upside, he's sort of fringy. And you're not always going to get Peralta's upside. So you and I are both starting him in leagues, I know, as yeah. Bad Miller replacements.
Right.
but that's strictly how I do view him, as kind of just a short-term fill-in until I can get somebody more reliable.
Rest of season, Peralta or Everth Cabrera?
Everth.
Everth.
Alcides Escobar or Jahani Peralta?
Jahani.
Jahani.
All right. How about Torii Hunter, your thoughts?
I don't know that he's a must-start either. This is a great week for him. It was a great week for all the Tigers. He was on my sleepers list, but in the start sit for hitters column. But the reason he was able to be on the sleepers list is because not that many owners were starting him. And that tells you something about how up and down he's been. I think he could get there if he sustains this hot streak long enough, but I don't quite see him in that light yet.
And Gene Segura, just tell me your expectations for him rest of the season. He now has 2 home runs, 6 steals, and 10 attempts, and batting .248.
You could have put him in the it's getting hot in here.
Yeah,
you could have put him in there.
I didn't realize, is he heating up a little bit?
Well, what caused me to look up this time period is 3 for 3 in steals in his last 14 games. So a little more than a 30 steal pace over the course of the season, if he sustains that. And during that stretch, he's hitting .277 with 2 home runs, which is about a 20-plus homer pace with a decent batting average. Now, I don't think he's going to hit 20 home runs, but it's a reminder that it's still early, and he could make up ground pretty quickly. I do think he has the skill set to be a 12-homer, 30-steal guy, and I would still expect that for him. With even better batting average than he's shown so far.
Val?
I agree with pretty much most of that. I don't expect double-digit homers from Segura, but that feels like a quibbling. But, yeah, expect improvement in the batting average and definitely 30 steals minimum.
3 down, Emilio Bonifacio. You know, the first week of the season, he was incredible. Since then, 20 games now, 218, 282 on base, 269 slugging. Four doubles, nine runs in 20 games, which isn't really that great for a leadoff hitter. Five steals in eight attempts. Do you think Bonifacio is droppable in non-roto, non-category leagues?
Yeah. Not in roto leagues, but in points leagues, sure.
Would you drop him for Omar Infante?
I would if I needed a shortstop. Or a second baseman, rather.
If I needed a shortstop,
I wouldn't do that.
In a points league specifically. I could see both swapping them out for the hot hand in those formats. I want it in roto, though.
Would you drop him for Yanhervis Solarte?
No way.
No.
Danny Espinosa?
No.
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Who'd you rather have in a roto league, Bonifacio or Espinosa?
Bonifacio.
Just because longevity?
Yeah, and I think the 40-plus steals potential is better than 2015 or 15-20, even if Espinosa did stay in the lineup.
Interesting. All right, Ryan Howard, last 2 weeks, batting 186 with a home run, 5 RBI, 1 walk, 15 strikeouts. Ryan Howard is cold. Would you drop him for CJ Crone?
Before I answer that question, Scott, do you get mad when you finally somebody finally wins you over, you raise them in your rankings, and you do something like this?
Yeah, it's annoying.
I take it personal.
Like, I think one of the guys who regularly calls into Fantasy Baseball Today, Craig from Chicago.
Zero calls this year.
I don't know what's up with that. But anyway, he commented yesterday he was thinking about sitting high and short. Jose Reyes for Jonathan Villar, because Jonathan Villar, I don't know if you've noticed that.
Slugging like 520.
He's on a near 30-30 pace, even though he's still striking out every third at bat. He's like, yeah, VR's awesome. Should I sit Reyes for him? And I'm like, yeah, VR has been annoyingly good so far. I didn't recommend sitting him for Reyes, but...
You mean starting him over Reyes?
Yeah. The whole gist of that story was annoyingly good. Like, a player who's annoyingly good or annoyingly bad because, like, you don't think it's right.
Right.
But you have to respond to it somehow.
So where does Ryan Howard fall in?
He's annoyingly bad right now. I'm still kind of won over to him, but not to the point that I can like just slot him as my first baseman or corner infielder and feel good about it.
But to get to your question, Adam, I would not drop Ryan Howard for Crone or Duda, and I like Duda.
And by the way, Jose Reyes homered last night.
He did.
Oh, so there you go.
Yeah.
Brian McCann, 0 for 4 yesterday. He's batting 217. 252 on base.
Not good.
Four walks this year. Anybody worried about McCann? Brian McCant.
Yeah, he's hitting more like Brian
Miller.
McCant.
Brian McCant. Good stuff.
All right, we're 7 players away from going around the horn.
We need one
team
per position,
of negative
right?
names. Help us, listeners. But I'm not that worried about McCann.
Mike Luzstakas.
That's not bad.
That isn't bad.
Like, especially if you spell it like lose stock. Like you're losing, he's losing a stock, you know, S-T-O-C-K.
Luzstakas? I don't know that really adds much.
Yeah, maybe not. All right. Tell me if you want to talk about any of these guys. Jared Weaver, awesome. Jose Quintana, awesome with 3 strikeouts, but pretty good whip. 1 hit, 1 walk in 7 innings. Yordano Ventura was cruising along, and then he gave up a 3-run homer to Yasmani Grandal, but still, 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, no walks, 10 Ks. And Jeff Samardzija, wasn't a complete game, went to extra innings, but 9 innings, 3 hits, 1 unearned run, 2 walks, 7 Ks. And he's really been great, except not striking guys out like he had been in previous years, but
and
hard
winless.
To argue with a 162. Yeah.
Winless.
0-3. So he's not even a top 30 or 40 pitcher right now because he's 0-3.
You think he has a 1.64 ERA in 7 starts and winless?
Yeah, it's crazy.
7 innings plus in 6 of those 7 and winless.
Going into that start, Samardzija was getting, I think, 2.2 runs of support per 9 innings, which is pretty pathetic. But yeah, actually, he is the guy I want to talk about because, other than the strikeouts, everything that he's doing has looked really good. And I do think he's a breakout candidate because I think the strikeout potential is very much there for Samardzija. And you know, not a bad strikeout performance in this game. So,
yeah, I'm wondering if we should address the winless thing though, because as much as we try to diminish the impact of those and just kind of ignore them, and I think you should, like people playing don't. It's obvious. The way they approach people who.
I downgrade Samardzija in the two-star pitcher rankings because of the run support issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of, like, what did you say, 2.4?
I think it was 2.2.
As bad as the Cubs are, that can't continue.
I agree, yeah.
And if he keeps pitching deep into games, they get their closer situation sorted out. I mean, I don't know that he's going to win even a dozen games, but, you know, he wins 9 or 10 the rest of the way. His end record won't look that great, but he'll.
What did Strasburg? He won 8 last year. Is that right, or 6?
Something like that. It may have been 9.
Yeah, but I feel like that's until he gets traded. I should say, unless Samardzija gets traded. I feel like that's his best case scenario. Because while I agree that 2.2, you know, even for the Cubs is you know too low to sustain. He's not going to get enough run support to win nearly the number of games that he should.
Well, how many wins did he have last year?
Samardzija?
Yeah, because I don't know that the Cubs' lineup is worse than last year. If anything,
I'm pretty sure it is, but that's a couple things I could look up. I think Samardzija won, I want to say, 10.
You feel like the Cubs' lineup's worse?
Yeah.
Even with Rizzo having a breakout year and Castillo having a breakout year, potentially?
Just in terms of what they've done, maybe potentially they could be better than they've been. Samardzija won 9 last year.
So he could do it again or more because his end numbers weren't that great last year.
Yeah.
I would be viewing Samardzija as a buy low, I guess is my roundabout way of saying it. Even though he has a 1.64 ERA, I don't know that he's being appreciated like he should be.
I'm trying to look up a team I had last year where I was very concerned about crap. I can't look it up. The league doesn't exist anymore. I was very concerned about wins. I had a bunch of pitchers like Felix Hernandez. I had Samardzija. He didn't end up being that good. But they were all pitching for bad teams. And I was like, really? I was like, I can't have too many of these guys. But they were all good pitchers. And I ended up winning that league, actually. So I kind of thought I had a thing going there where I had this theory about you can't have too many guys that don't get wins. But then it sort of didn't really hold up. So I don't really pay too much attention to it anymore.
I just realized, by the way, and I know we're trying to get to the skedaddle here.
Yeah.
But I'll try to do this quick here because I've got the rankings, runs scored by team. The Cubs are 4th to last in the majors. Braves are 2nd to last, and they strike out a ton. So when we were talking about Shelby Miller, one of the points I wanted to bring up is you said he was striking out guys in that start. And I think that might have been a matchup artifact, and I think that's one I might have overlooked when I was ranking Shelby Miller among the two-star pitchers.
All right.
That he did have a good chance for strikeouts even with poor command. Because I just think the Braves are a team that are just going to help pitchers out with strikeouts.
All right. Let's real quick rank these guys. Zach McAllister, Jordan Lyles, Kyle Gibson, Jared Cozart.
I go Cozart, McAllister, Lyles, Gibson.
Yeah, I'll go that way.
Then let's read some emails. Well, let me give a quick news updates. Joe Kelly not progressing as quickly as the Cardinals had hoped. Eric Young was back, given Juan Lagares a day off. Young went 1-for-4. Matt Albers is expected to come off the DL for Houston this weekend. Is he a potential closer?
As much as anybody is right now in that bullpen, yeah.
Will they win another game this year?
Maybe when they face Jeff Samardzija.
Zach Greinke and Jordan Zimmermann had their starts shortened due to a lengthy rain delay. Still no timetable for Jason Grilli. Do you really think Marcus Semien is going to be removed from the lineup when Connor Gillespie gets back? Gordon Beckham is batting 167.
I would love to go along with that theory, and I do practically a daily Google search to find evidence to support it, and I haven't found it yet.
Oh, that he would replace Gordon Beckham. All right. Lorenzo Cain returned with 4 hits. I think we're going to talk about him on the video show today. And Scott Feldman expected to start Friday for Houston at Baltimore. Emails. Here's Mike Barnes from Charlotte, North Carolina. My hitting's on fire. I need to add a starting pitcher, though. Head-to-head points. Please advise. Lincecum, Lyles, Keuchel,
Mejia, Kohler, Quintana.
Quintana.
I agree. Yeah. Ryan in St. Louis says, dear Reggie Jackson, Chris Sabo, and Chuck McElroy, ball players who wore eyeglasses.
Yeah, B.J. Upton should have been there, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. What is it that Freddie Freeman wears?
He wears glasses in the field, but not in the plate, because he's had so many eye issues over the years to avoid getting dirt kicked up into them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned on Monday's podcast about pitchers who get bounced around the second and third time through the batting order. Who are some pitchers that tend to settle in as the game goes on? I remember in the 90s, if you didn't get the Maddox or Glavine in the first inning, they weren't touched the rest of the game. Well, that used to be the case with Justin Verlander. I don't know if it's still
I honestly don't know. Yeah, I've seen Jose Fernandez do that a few times. He seems to get stronger as the game goes on.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Maddox or Glavine, you just want him in your lineup anyway.
You know what people overlook when they see, like, giving up runs in the first? Oh, Tanaka. By the way, most of his runs have come in the first or second inning. People overlook the fact that the first inning, that's the way you set your lineup to score runs, you know? Like, that's the one inning where you get to control who bats.
Yeah.
So it's often the hardest inning to navigate.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory.
Craig in Maine says, hey, Sonic, Tails, and Knuckles, 10-team head-to-head categories league.
Those aren't Billy Hamilton injuries?
Nice. You know who that is?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Sonic the Hedgehog?
Wait. Oh.
Okay.
Ow.
He said no, then he said yeah. I wasn't sure.
Well, because I forgot there was a Sonic the Hedgehog.
How do you forget there is a Sonic the Hedgehog?
Apparently, I found a way. A
generation gap.
Yes.
Showing.
10-team head-to-head categories league. I have Willian Rosario. I just picked up Miguel Montero. Should I drop Rosario or Cingrani and pick up Vicieto, Marquecas, or Castellanos?
No, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't.
And yeah, Montero is a great replacement.
And let's finish with a prospect question. Mark in the Mid-Coast, Maine. He says, dear Johnny Lawrence, Greg Tolan, and Chad Osborne. I have no idea. I've heard you guys talk about pitching prospects like Bradley, Syndergaard, and Stroman, but what about Andrew Haney? Can you rank those four guys on A, who will come up first and make a big impact this year, and B, who has the most upside long term?
The Marlins fan here. Mr. Al Melchior neglecting his own.
Yeah, I like it. Well, Stroman, of course, is already up, but I guess if we could say up and in the rotation. I'll go Stroman, Haney, and actually I've been hearing the Marlins pronouncers pronounce it Heaney.
Ugh.
So time for me to change again. Stroman, Heaney, Syndergaard, Bradley in terms of readiness. In terms of impact, well, Scott, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just, what injury did he say Bradley had? Did you mention that?
UCL.
Bradley with a UCL injury.
It's not a UCL injury, right? It's a flexor muscle.
It's not a UCL injury.
Yeah. It's not, Tommy John isn't part of this equation here. But I do think, regardless, Bradley, it's going to push back his timetable enough that when before I would have had him at the top, I agree it makes sense to put him at the end of the list.
What do you guys do? Are we done with this question?
No, because we have to talk about impact now.
All right, go ahead, real quick.
Okay. Syndergaard, Heaney, Stroman, Bradley.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was agreeing with that.
When you guys do Google searches, do you sometimes have to type in, like, a verification word?
Oh, yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah, Google thinks I'm a bot.
Yeah. And so I've gotten two very funny ones right now as I've tried to look up a couple of things.
Two in this short period of time? That's
well, because I didn't type in the I didn't submit the first one, so I kept it up.
Okay. All right.
PANST. It's almost pants, which I think would have been really funny to have to type in. And then the second one, I don't know why I find this funny. I have to type in Skinger. SKINGER. Isn't this hilarious?
I'm cracking up on the inside.
What the hell? I have to type in more?
Uh-oh.
You're pretty shady on the internet there.
What have you been looking at?
I'm trying to look up Johnny Lawrence, Greg Tolan, and Chad Osborne.
Apparently that's classified information.
Oh, yeah. That's great. That's the bad guy from Karate Kid. The same actor who plays the bad guy from Karate Kid, Back to School. And who's Chad Osborne?
Yeah, I feel like I should know that one.
Is it Chad or is it Chaz?
Maybe I'm wrong.
Skinger.
Oh, it's Chaz Osborne.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm all over the place.
That's fun
right
to
now.
Say.
What time are we at now?
Don't worry about it. What movie is that? Hick, what? Okay, whatever. Same actor.
We'll update tomorrow.
Classic 80s bad guy. Good stuff. Bye.